Hello and welcome to the podcast Out of Five Stars, a weekly book review podcast. We are your hosts, Jess and Jess. Actually, I should say Ni Hao because we're doing a memoir today and there's a lot of Mandarin Chinese in it. So Ni Hao. I'm the Jess in the Pacific Northwest.
And I'm the Jess in Louisville, Kentucky. Each week we sit down with a drink in one hand and a mic in the other to talk about all things bookish. And today we are concluding our month of memoirs by talking about Beautiful Country by Chan Julie Wong.
Yes, Beautiful Country is pretty new. It did come out last year, September 2021, but it's already a pretty big deal on Goodreads. Right now, it's standing at 4.22 stars. And we're super excited because we are joined by a special guest who actually chose the book for this week, Janelle from at Janelle and Things.
Jan and Things. So before we dive into the book, Janelle, please introduce yourselves. And like I mentioned last week, Janelle and I went to the same college. And we were both from California, too, and ditched it for someplace better.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Jess and Jess, for inviting me to the podcast. And yeah, it's super small world. I've been on Bookstagram for almost an entire year. My Bookstaversary is in 2 weeks. And through that's how we kind of found each other, my account and Out of Five Stars. And I am so honored to be a guest on your podcast. I was thrilled to be invited and to get to choose this book. And yeah, reading has been kind of like my pandemic hobby. And it's funny because people don't believe me now. Because before COVID, I probably read like one or two books a year. Mm-hmm. And now I'm averaging like 60 books a year. And I don't even know how I do that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So we'll see what 2022 has to hold for us. But I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And congratulations, because you did get a little over 2,000 followers on Instagram. I know you were trying to get that before your one-year Bookstaversary, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
So we have a couple questions just about you and your Bookstagram, and you mentioned that reading kind of became your hobby recently, but your Instagram was actually for calligraphy beforehand. What made you switch to the Bookstagram, and are you still practicing calligraphy?
Ooh, I like the research that you did. I am just not talking. Still practicing calligraphy. I should, though, because I just was really looking for a creative outlet. And actually, I started this account, I think in like 2016, as a photo journaling thing where I was just going to post once a day because I realized I took so many pictures on my phone and never did anything with them. And I was like, well, okay, I'll just have this other account, put it out there, see what happens. I think I only made it like 300 days or something.
That's still impressive. And then,
thank you. And it was also really nice because it challenged me to like go outside every now and then and do something. And then once that was over, I took a break. Then 2 years later, I was like itching for another creative outlet. And I don't really know what inspired me to get into hand lettering, but that's kind of what I did. And then I challenged myself to another 365 day thing and only made it again, like 9 months out of 12. And then that kind of went on the back burner. And then with reading in 2020, I read a lot, but I didn't write any reviews either on Goodreads or just for myself. And then again, I was starting to really have that creative itch. So I was like, hey, I have this other account that's just been idle for a while. I can just start posting reviews there for myself just to keep track of my thoughts, alongside Goodreads or what have you, and just see what happens. And then 1 year later, here we are.
1 year later. This one you actually stuck to a little bit more than 9 months.
That's true. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow.
There you go. Yeah. That's awesome.
I think it helps that I haven't posted like once a day every day for a whole year. I think that's just a kind of different pressure.
I guess one thing that we didn't talk about that we always do is like, what are you drinking? So Janelle, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking lemon honey ginger tea.
That's something that Jess drinks all the time.
Nice. I'm a big ginger tea person.
I concocted it myself, so I don't know if it technically counts as tea, but it's like water with all of those things in it.
It counts. It doesn't have to come in a tea bag. Yeah. Jess, what about you?
I actually just finished my ginger tea, but now I moved over to LaCroix. What flavor? Passion fruit right now. Passion fruit. It's a good one.
Nice.
What are you drinking, Jess?
I'm drinking Waterloo strawberry. I'm going to say it out loud now. I quit Whole30. I was doing Whole30. I did 2 weeks, and I was just so over it. I just didn't want to anymore. I wanted oatmeal. That's what did me in. I wanted oatmeal, and so I quit. I was like, I need oatmeal. I've drank...
2 weeks is impressive.
I've done it before. I did drink alcohol like 2 or 3 times, but I've still been trying to tone it down a little bit this year. Okay, back to... questions for Janelle. What genre of books is your go-to favorite kind of thing to go to?
That's a really good question. I think it's probably a tie between like contemporary fiction and romance. I feel like I probably read more romance than I'd like to admit. And my mom actually followed my bookstagram a couple months ago, and last time I saw her, she was like, all you read is romance. Like, you need to pick books that are more challenging. And I'm like, that's not true. But if that's the impression I give, I might need to kind of switch things up. Not that there's anything wrong with romance.
What's wrong with romance?
Yeah. Nothing. Romance. But it's just like, yeah. It's fun. It is fun. I think romance are my favorite books to read in between the heavier things because they're just so much fun.
Jess likes to call it a palate cleanser. They're a palate cleanser.
Exactly.
They always are because they end happily. It's lighter. Like some of these reads, especially with the memoir month, a lot of the ones we've read are pretty sad. And you're like, if you're already like feeling the seasonal depression and then you're reading a really sad story, it gets to you. So yeah, I've been doing some palate cleansers myself recently.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Do you mostly read audiobooks or physical books, especially this month with memoirs?
Jess, you go first.
This month, I do a little bit of both. I like to check out the physical, like Kindle book, or the physical book and the audiobook, and just kind of like sit down and have it read to me kind of thing, because I like that. Mm-hmm. There was one book that we talked about last week on the podcast, which is called Rumors of Spring by Farah Bashir, which is her account growing up in Kashmir in India during the war. And that one is only in Kindle or paperback version, so that one we read. But I do a little bit of both. Especially in the car when I'm like driving somewhere, I like to just put it on. Jess?
Yeah, so for this month, I purchased the first memoir that we did, which was Brandi Carlile. And I live in a trailer right now, so I try not to purchase too many physical books, but I do get a lot from the library. So I got this one from the library. Ashley C. Ford, I checked it out on my Kindle from the library. I would say I'm kind of all over the place, and it's kind of a 50-50 between Kindle versions of library books and audiobooks. 50-50. I'm glad, though, I had this one in a physical copy, but I also got the audio copy as well, which I really liked because kind of in the same thing that I said last week was a lot of the phrases and things that are in a language that's not English, I love hearing it, especially last book. It was a language I'd never really heard people speak before, and reading it on paper, I was like, I'm losing some of that there. So that was kind of nice to have both versions for this one, was to be able to hear her speak Mandarin and read it on paper. So it was good. So 50-50. But when I have a house, I will buy more books because I love touching books. What about you? Yeah. Do you like physical copies, audio copies, or do you do more of the Kindle versions? What do you do?
I am a fan of both the physical versions and audiobooks. I do wish for this one I also had the audiobook. I think what I've learned is that with memoirs, I might absorb them better in audio version.
I learned that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the audiobooks that I've been reading in the last 2 years have been nonfiction, and I think just recently I've been dabbling more into fiction. It's definitely like I have a standing list of what books I read audio versus physical. And last year it was a direct 50-50 split. And some books, like you guys, I had both the physical and audio books, but then I think I ended up just going with audio.
So my only thing, though, for this month specifically was I did the Brandi Carlile paperback, and I was obsessed with it because there was pictures in it. I was obsessed. I was like, these are great. They're so fun. They're like little pictures from her childhood and stuff like that. But then when I talked to Jessica and she was like, oh, I had the audio version, and she actually sings in the audio version.
Which Janelle told me about it.
I want that now. God damn it. I should have gotten both. I should have. So I knew better this time around. I was like, both. I'm doing paper and I'm doing audio.
Audiobooks are so sneaky because I'm listening to Will Smith's book right now, and in there are random snippets of songs throughout the chapter. And I'm always like, how would this, I mean, it wouldn't be like this in the physical book. And there was Rebecca Bloom's book. She had a whole musical chapter. So I'm like, if I was reading the physical book,
you would have totally
it would just
out.
Be words. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting kind of the sneaky choices that they make, but they're fun surprises.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we get into it? Beautiful Country.
Hello, my name is Tegan, and I'm the host of the Bookstorian podcast. I'm a book lover and bookstagrammer with a ferocious need to color code. I am a drama teacher by trade, which also means I really love to talk. I have a constant thirst to talk about the books I've read, and sometimes the comment box just isn't long enough for me. Join me each Monday as I talk to bookstagrammers about their accounts, why they created them, what inspires them, and what tips they may have. We also discuss oh so many books across a range of different genres. And yes, there will be spoilers. I want to talk to people about the books they have read, and that means we're going to talk about what happens in those books. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and follow me on Instagram at the Bookstorian Podcast.
First things first, we usually talk about the cover, but we didn't pick this one. Janelle, you picked it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about why you picked this book? Did it have anything to do with the cover? Thoughts, feelings? What made you pick this one?
I don't think it had anything to do with the cover. I also have a physical copy here with me. I don't remember how I first heard of it, probably through Bookstagram, but what jumped out to me about it is it's written by a Chinese immigrant, and I am a Chinese immigrant, not first generation the same way she is, and I just had heard so many great things, and just reading kind of the snippet of it, I'm like, oh, you know, this is an experience I've not super familiar with. Like, when you think of undocumented immigrants, you don't usually think Asian, so I thought this would be a really interesting story to read and perspective to have. And then over the next few months, the accolades kept rolling in and rolling in, and Obama added it to his best of 2021 list. And then when you guys reached, I think I bought my book in like November. And not shortly after, you reach out to me about Memoir Month, and I was like, this is perfect. Like, I need an excuse to read this book, because I'm sure you guys can relate. You probably have stacks and stacks of books that you need to read but never get to. So I was like, yeah, perfect.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad it really worked out. I had never heard of it before. I don't know why this one never popped up on any of my Goodreads lists. Like, I usually have a few different things swimming around there on, like, Google notifications. This one didn't pop up for me, and I have been taking a break just from looking at Instagram very much, so I haven't seen anything on Instagram for it either.
I will say,
though, I kind of went in cold, but it was good.
I will say that I feel like it's going to start popping up everywhere because this was one of the books that was on Book of the Month. Like, it was a pick. So it's everybody.
Is it?
Yeah, the reviews on Bookstagram are going to just start rolling in because it was a Book of the Month pick, I think, for December or January. I'm not sure, but I've seen it around. So good, good pick. So the cover. There's two different covers. There's this one, and then there was another one with the picture of Chin as a child. And I think that's the like Kindle edition book part.
I'm going to look at it.
And I think I like this one better. I feel like it tells a better story. And I don't really remember. Is it the little girl and the mom, right?
It's like a little guy and a mom, and then there's another guy over here walking the other direction, which I think works really perfect for the story.
Yes.
So I really like this cover. The other cover was good, and I like that it was the author herself, but this one I think worked way better for
especially
the
when
theme
we hear about
of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really interesting because right on the cover above the title it says "Struggle to Survive," which I think is an interesting choice.
I'm not sure if you guys researched the author much, but I did read about, like, when she was writing the book, because she's a lawyer, right? She's a lawyer in New York. She wrote this book on her phone on the subway to work.
What?
Yeah. So I thought that was just crazy to read about.
That is crazy.
That's really impressive.
That's nuts. I didn't know she wrote it on the subway, but also learning about how much she was on the subway by herself reading all the time makes sense. I get it. I could see where that happens. But damn, wrote a book on a subway. Wow.
Yep.
Very impressive.
Okay, so we'll get into some of these questions that we had written down. Jess had written down most of them, honestly, this time. At the beginning of the book, Julie talks about how beautiful the U.S. can be, and that's where the, you know, beautiful country keeps coming up. Clean streets, no starving children. What, you know, as she came over from a province in China that's not, it's close to Beijing, but a little bit further off, what do you think, like, why do you think that meant so much to her that this was the main thing she noticed? Was that it was just a clean, beautiful country?
Or I guess not that she noticed, but like that most people said was about the U.S. Like, oh, it's clean. Everybody's educated. Yada yada. That's what other countries. I didn't finish the question. Writing it down. that's why everybody's like, from other countries think the U.S. is great, but growing up here. Do you feel the same way?
That's a really interesting question because I feel like clean is relative, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't really know anything else. Well, actually, technically, I grew up in Toronto and then I moved to LA when I was 8. Kind of similar-ish to Julie. But I guess to answer your question, no. Like, I wouldn't be like, America is so clean.
Yeah.
But I guess it really is relative depending on, like, where you're coming from.
I thought that was really interesting that was one of the first things that was happening, especially her family in China was like, oh, you're going to go there. It's going to be great. It's beautiful. She gets to New York, Chinatown specifically. That was probably not, like, the cleanest of streets all over. But I just thought it was so interesting that kept reoccurring over and over again was like, okay, then she eventually went out to the suburbs with her mom and was like, oh, I see so much grass, like more grass than I've ever seen. It's the cleanest place. And it just like that kept becoming a thing for her. Everyone's house, she kind of looked at how clean and organized and what was there. Just so much of the story surrounded cleanliness versus...
And food. There was a lot of like... starvation, but I guess that she was starving, didn't have enough to eat. Question, Jess, you have been to China. Janelle, have you been to China?
I have not.
Did you, so Jess, did you feel any, because Janelle felt a sort of connection because she's a Chinese immigrant. Did you feel any sort of connection to the book because you've been to the country?
There were like little bits and pieces that kind of got me excited when she was speaking fondly of things, like when she was walking around or on the bike with her mom. And I love seeing, when I was in China a couple times, like I love seeing how many people are out on bikes. But on top of that, it's like little family units on bikes. So it'd be like moms with their little kiddos on the back, just like hanging out, going for a ride. And her talking about going to different street vendors for food and savoring all these different foods, like, oh gosh, my stomach was rumbling as well. Like, constant food talk throughout the whole thing, but the talk of her when she was in China, the food she was eating, made my mouth water, even though it was something that I probably wouldn't have tried when I was in China anyways. Like, I wasn't super adventurous. Other than that, like, I had a very particular visit to China both of the times I went to China, so I didn't see, you know, the type of lifestyle that she would have had, but it was really nice hearing, because I was listening to the book, you know, parts of the time. It was great hearing Mandarin again, because that was the language I took in high school, and I never used it again, really, other than when I went to China after graduation. So it was just really nice to like hear that language again, because I think it's a really fun language. I think it's a very like delicate language. I'm not very good at it. I wasn't very good at it when I was like taking it in high school and when I was over there, but I really like that aspect of it. The memories that she had of like the food in China and how she was never hungry, those were the ones that really stuck with me, where she was kind of savoring that memory.
Were there any parts of the book that really stuck with you, Janelle?
Well, kind of as we're talking about food, I feel like what stuck with me is the lack thereof that she experienced so much throughout her life, or her childhood, I guess, since this only really goes up to, I think, her middle school. Years. I just was kind of shocked at the kind of, like, poverty that she lived in, and what she had to experience. And I think also what really stuck with me is how her childhood was so filled with fear, and how she kind of took the responsibility upon herself to be a little adult, and her relationship with her mother.
Be her mom's doctor.
Yeah, it was so, so interesting and, like, heartbreaking, especially towards the end when you find out her mom is sick, and she's just feeling like she doesn't have the control that she kind of wanted to be there for her. I found that really powerful. I don't know.
The whole time I found myself, I was like so, I felt so bad for her the whole time, because, you know, I was also a kid who had the free lunches, the free breakfast, but I wasn't scared I was going to get deported, so I could like talk to the other kids who were getting the free school lunches and be like, oh man, this sucks. Like, I hate this. And I never felt scared to talk about my situation. But Julie, the whole time, never knew who she could trust. Originally didn't speak English. So there was just so many barriers built up for her. The whole time I was like, oh my God, I just feel so bad. So before you hopped on, we were talking, Jess and I, whenever we read a sad book, usually Jess cries, and she tells me, and I'm like, that's great. I love it. I'm not a big crier. No, I'm just not a big crier. It doesn't happen very often, but I did end up crying while reading this book, and I haven't cried reading a book in a really long time,
Jess,
but I cried during this
book.
Not that that matters.
No, it doesn't matter.
But I cried, and I wanted to give Jess an opportunity to try and guess at what point I cried in the book. I will tell you guys, it's definitely like a Jess, like me Jess thing to cry about, so I don't know. Janelle, you probably will never guess it, but it Jess, do you want to take a guess where I cried?
Is it a mommy and me situation?
No.
Can I guess?
No, actually, I would never cry about a mommy and me situation.
I think it could have been having to do with the cat. With Marilyn.
Oh my God, yes! When her dad picks up the cat by the scruff and throws it out the window, I broke down. I was like, this is so fucking sad. This is the worst thing ever. Like, that's all she had. At that point, she didn't even have the Tamagotchi yet. Like, that's the only thing in the world that she felt like she was still providing for, because she felt like she failed her mom. And so, like, her little Marilyn was the only thing that she had. Oh, my God. I had some, like, crying in the car. I was like, this is so sad. She talks about it over and over again. Yeah, it made me miss my cat. But I was just like, oh, my gosh. I can't deal with this right now. Like, she had nothing, and that was the only thing she had. And her dad is just like, what a jerk. Okay, so let's talk about
the dad.
Parents. Yeah. Let's talk about the dad specifically. So, dad went through some changes.
Dad came to the U.S. first for 2 years.
He did.
And then was like, hey, let's go. Come on over. It's great over here.
The first instance that I knew I wasn't going to be a big fan of dad was when Julie came into his office one day and there was like student or someone sitting on his lap. I was like, ooh, it's not good. It's not a good look, dad. When you've got, you know, your struggling family here. That's why I thought it was funny. Jessica wrote down a point. You know, what was the breaking point for the family? Was it the car? Was it the mom's sickness? Was it the perhaps his cheating or his other extracurricular? It was the cat for me. What was it for you guys? I was like, I hate the dad. Dad's all, I'm canceling dad. But yeah, I don't know. It was such a weird relationship that she had with her father. I never really got a full grip on it. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly what she felt for him the whole time. Especially after, like, she saw him, like, maybe not cheating on her mom. Because she was such a big fan of her mom, and then mom got sick. I could never really get a read on, like, what she thought of her dad. Was that easier for you guys to decipher, or were you guys also still confused? Or, I don't know, maybe it was just never there.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the latter. I think it's just a very complicated relationship altogether. To answer the first part of the question, the breaking point, I guess, or kind of the tension starter, I think it was the cheating. Because I remember it was like the mom was kind of revealing all of her concerns and worries and unloading them onto Chin, and that was one of them. Was like, oh, I can't remember the phrase, but Chin was like, I don't really know what that means. But then I walked into his office and saw a woman sitting really close to him, like maybe on his lap. And then I feel like from there, because I think the dad was kind of sketchy before that too, but I can't think of anything specific. And then from there, things would kind of just like pile on to that list. I think it's hard because it sounds like when she was little, like little in China, he was the world to her. And then he was gone for 2 years, so she just missed him so, so much and kind of built this image of him in his head and in her head. And when she got to America to be with him again, he was different and life was different. And so I think part of it was probably she was really trying to hold on to like the life that she had before, because her family was really everything. And I think it was probably really hard to deal with, like, American dad. You know, it was just very different.
American dad that's always scared, which was very different where dad in China, he was always being like, speak up, do this, do that. And now he's like, don't talk. Don't trust anybody. Don't do this. Don't do that. We were talking about earlier, I really felt a connection to Chen because of the way that she had a relationship with her mom, and she was her mom's kind of like therapist, doctor, because my mom, growing up, my mom would say stuff to me, and I'd be like, should I really be hearing these things? Like, I was her confidant, you know, because she had her sisters, but you don't want to let other family into your little family's issues or just whatever. So you're going to talk to your daughter. And then there was a point where Chen was talking or writing about like, I just remember going into bed and putting the covers over my head and there just being really weird noises coming from mom and dad's bed. And then after so-and-so happened, there were no noises anymore, and I was happy about that.
Yeah, definitely weird to, knock boots in front of your little tiny therapist. But, you know, I'm happy that they're still getting it. That's good. You should be doing that during stressful times. It's okay to
it's a stress reliever.
Do. Yeah, I guess it's a stress reliever. So, more specifically about the mom relationship that Chen had, she would often go to work with her mom. Like, different jobs, different things like that, which was something I did all the time, too. Like, I used to go to my mm-hmm. mom's jobs all the time and be bored out of my mind. Just like, what am I supposed to do here? It was so interesting just hearing it from her perspective, though, and the different jobs that she took on, because there was a huge variety of them, mm-hmm. just so many. And during that time, it was when Chen was the little therapist, like her mom's therapist, and they were very close, and they talked about things all the time. And it wasn't until mom got sick that kind of turned off, like she stopped talking to her all the time. And at first I was thinking, you know, it was just because the mom was sick. She was sick, she was tired. But then later we find out that mom has actually been taking steps on her own to get the family in a better spot. And
I was so impressed by the mom, though. Like, that just, like, damn. What way to take a hold of the pants in the relationship and just get a graduate degree in a country that mm-hmm. you freaking didn't know the language. That's amazing. And your husband's over there with his head between his legs, all scared. Yeah, go on.
Right, yeah, and so she's doing all of this, and I wondered at first, I was like, oh, did she stop talking to her daughter because of the sickness? But then you kind of realize maybe it is a sickness, but maybe it's because she's got a lot on her plate and the dad is not backing her up on these decisions. Like, later on, we get very much the child view, which I do like that type of memoir where it's like a child's mm-hmm. eye view of what's happening. But so Chen doesn't really know why her mom's not talking to her, and she doesn't really know why her parents are fighting. They're very, you know,
private,
blunt mm-hmm. about like a fight. Mm-hmm. Private. Yeah. There was only like one instance when the dad slapped the mom across the face at dinner.
And that was the incident.
And that was it. So just very, very interesting. 'Cause the whole time I was like trying to figure out like, oh, why would mom mm-hmm. stop talking to Chen all the time? Like, they were so close. They went to work together all the time. They did all the stuff together. But it's still, now that I know that her mom was working on getting them
mm-hmm. out
citizenship in Canada, I'm like, mm-hmm. why didn't she tell her about it? Because I also, again, felt really sad for Chen when all of a sudden one day she just up and left her friends, and it was really sad. It was like a really sad passage. She was like, if I would have known that was my last day, would have seen my friends, I would have mm-hmm. done
X, Y, or Z and been nicer.
I would have felt differently. I would have been nicer. I would have done this differently.
I have a question.
It was really sad.
And it's very random. Maybe we can start with Janelle. Maybe she can figure out what the heck happened. So the mom is sick. The mom had surgery. The dad gave $500 to the doctor. Is that... What?
Yeah, I was confused by that too. Because at first I was like, why is he pulling out bills? And then it wasn't until the sentence after where I was like, oh yeah, $500 for that much surgery is not a lot. Also, why would he be paying the doctor in cash? Like,
Why would the doctor take it?
But he already did the surgery, so it must have just been some kind, like, I don't know if it was a family friend or, like, I don't know. That is a random question, but that's a good point.
Jeff? Yeah.
I thought it was like a gift.
Is that...
That's how I read it?
Like a gift or like a bribe? Because no. I thought otherwise they wouldn't really be able to pay for all the medical services. That's what I thought it was. Because then when she went back to the hospital like a couple weeks after with the pancreatitis, her mom was like, each one of these bags is like thousands of dollars. That kind of thing. And they were just worried about how to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that could have covered the cost.
Yeah.
Like she mentioned, like all those different liquids that were going in were well over thousands of dollars. when I first went through that, where the dad gave the money, I just thought it was like a gift, like a kind of thank you. Mm-hmm. This is like, without our mother here, it would have completely ruined everything. Mm-hmm. So like, it was just kind of a gift situation. That's how I thought it was. Could totally be reading it wrong. I have no idea. I don't know what the health insurance was at the time.
Yeah.
Very confusing little section, okay. But
another question.
What do you think?
I don't know, but I had another thought.
okay.
Sorry. So, I don't know. Mr. King?
What a jerk. He was the absolute worst. I have so many notes about him.
The teacher.
Yeah. Janelle, tell me about Mr. King.
So Mr. Kane is her fifth grade teacher. It was the first male teacher she's had. I think also the first white teacher she's had. So in the memoir. Mm-hmm. And he was just so horrible on so many levels. One of the comments I wrote down, he told her she shouldn't wear overalls because it looks like she's works on a farm. He told the whole class that all of their parents are uneducated because they're undocumented and work in sweatshops. He didn't believe her that she wrote her essays, and he's like, you couldn't have written this essay, that's too good. So then that forced her to start writing with spelling and grammatical errors for probably a long time in her life, it sounds like. Just so, so, so messed up. I feel like there's another one about him, but I just can't believe.
The last thing he says to her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, during the week of the graduation. He says, like, I don't remember what it exactly was, but to the effect of, like, if you don't show up in your life.
Yeah.
When her mom is in the hospital.
Yeah, he's like, you're not going to go sure anywhere in life. Yeah, but still, you don't talk to, like, 10-year-olds like that.
Yeah, a fifth grader, like, you're not going to make it in life because you're not showing up to these field trips that are expensive. Like,
yeah.
What?
Just so horrible.
What a jerk. Definitely didn't seem like the type of person who should be a teacher.
Definitely not.
But.
All right. Was there anything else that we wanted to talk about? Because I think we're at like 36 minutes.
Epilogues.
I liked that she had an epilogue in there. Wait, hang on. Mm-hmm. They went to Canada. The incident happened where the dad slapped the mom. I thought that the mom was, again, very brave.
I thought she would leave him. Yeah.
I thought so, too. I thought she was just going to leave him. Mm-hmm. But she was very brave. She knew what she was doing by learning how to drive with that weird gym guy that went to McDonald's.
The McDonald's guy.
Well, I feel like we need to talk about him.
He was weird.
We do need to talk about him. He gives me strong... I have no idea what he is, like, ethnicity-wise, but he gives me strong 90-day fiancé. Yes. 90-day fiancé.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I picture, like, older, bigger, white hair. Yeah. But all just... Yeah. How did they meet him? I really did not understand their relationship. Like, he just took them to McDonald's.
Wasn't he someone who got his hair done?
Oh, so he was a creep, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then...
Yeah, he would go get his hair washed. And then, I don't know why they were like, oh yeah, this weirdo, clearly, who comes in to get his hair washed once a week, let's go to McDonald's with the family. Yeah. The whole family with him.
I guess it was like better that the dad went with them. Mm-hmm. But then there was, like, that one scene where, like, some other Asian chick was in the car with them, and she was like, he's bad gross news, and he's, like, looking at your daughter in certain ways. And
they still went.
Yeah, I thought that after that she was gonna say, and that was the last time we saw
him. She took driving lessons from him.
Yeah, they got the cat from him.
Yeah,
weird relationship.
Oh, man, yeah. Jim. Okay, and then they went to Canada, and she was scared.
Just mom and her.
And she was scared of the guys in uniform. And I was like, that's so Canadian that they smile and are like, welcome home.
Mm-hmm. Welcome home.
So I have a question for both of you. Mm-hmm. It was really cute once they made it over to Canada. And I was super happy. I was very, very worried. I thought, though, it was just going to be Chen and her
mom.
Me
too.
I didn't think dad was going to come. Mm-mm. Okay, I was wondering, like, was I the only, am I cynical?
The way she made it sound was, like, mom was escaping him. Like, it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
That's why she didn't get to say goodbye. That's why she didn't tell her. But then it sounds like a couple of weeks later, maybe months, then the dad came.
It was weeks.
It was two weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, and
it seems like to me now, after reading the epilogue where it was like 2 weeks later, Baba shows up. I was like, okay, we're just letting him back. Like, he didn't just slap you across the face and leave a mark. Okay, that's fine. It seemed like to me, though, that when she explained it a little bit more, she was like, you know, Mom was trying to get this set up. She knew Canada was the place. She was like, Canada is the place. We should go there. We get the maple leaf card. And it just seemed like Dad was a little too stubborn.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, America is the beautiful country. This is the country we're going to get our start in. Like, we're going to stay here. Maybe it, I don't know. I just got the feeling that he had, like, some other thing going on.
Because he was always gone and...
Yeah, his little sneaky links were in America.
All the side pieces were there.
I think, you know, it wasn't until that chapter that I realized, like, because a lot of my family, so my mom grew up in Taiwan, and when I visited Taiwan in 2016, and almost everyone I met there was like, oh yeah, we lived in Toronto, I knew you as a baby. And I was like, how random is it that everyone here, like a room of like 20 people, all also happened to live in Toronto around the same time? And it wasn't until I read this book that it's like, I think it is easier to be welcomed in Canada. And I didn't know it was called a maple leaf card. I was like, is that a joke? That's so funny. Because I technically, I'm on a green card here in America. I'm not a citizen. So I thought that was also an interesting dynamic. And my question is, when he said welcome home, I was like, oh, did they have fake documents, you think, that made them look like
it was
Canadian
just,
citizens?
It was the lawyer. It was their green, their new.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So that was like his way of welcoming them.
Yeah.
You know, the Canadians.
They're just so kind. We're kind people. but it did remind me.
She describes them.
Yeah, her experience with the customs officer, whoever that was, reminds me a lot of like when I would travel a lot between Canada and LA, because my mom actually. Similar parallels. My mom moved to LA for 2 years while I was still in Canada with my dad. And when we would travel, I would always be more scared of the American officers versus the Canadian ones, because the Canadian ones would smile at you and the American ones weren't. And I also wonder if that was it, or also it was like my parents telling me that the American ones would be more scary, or like, you know, kind of thing. So it's interesting.
It's a good thought. I like that. Jess, did you like that this memoir had an epilogue? Because the memoirs that we've read, they just end. And you're always like, well, what happens next? Especially, you know, we did Somebody's Daughter. Mm-hmm. And then that one was a great memoir. And you're like, well, what happened next? And Rumors of Spring, it just ended. And we didn't get like a what happened next. Here, we get a what happened next. Did you enjoy that? Because I did.
Yes, because I feel like, so after the last one, Rumors of Spring, I had to go into a deep YouTube and like learning the history of Kashmir. I was like, what happens to like, how did it end? This one, because she gave a very concise, we went to Canada. We went here. I went to law school. I got my law degree. Then I went to the, like, she just tells you exactly what I would have looked up. Mm-hmm. So it felt very concise. It felt very like a neat little bow at the end of exactly what a person would want to know at the end of her story. I liked it. Epilogue needed. final word on it.
Did you like it?
I don't think I realized it was an epilogue until you guys just labeled it as that. And I just went back to look in the book, and it is, because the one prior to it says chapter 30 and this one doesn't.
It says, so it begins, or
how it begins.
How it begins.
I think if it had ended without that, I'd be like, yeah, what happened next? Like, how did she get to where she is today? Because, I do wish it was a little bit longer, because I feel like it jumps... Obviously, since the book itself ends with her in sixth grade, and now I'm not sure. I think she's like in her mid-30s now, and we know that she graduated from Yale Law School and all that. I'm like, my question is, which I can easily Google, is did she get her citizenship? Like, how, you know, I want another memoir, maybe. Yeah. Like the next chapter of her life.
She's of married. High school through college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, high school through college. She's married. This is her second marriage.
It's her second marriage?
Mm-hmm. Her acknowledgments, I think it mentioned that. Or maybe it was in the epilogue. Something like that. But yeah, I don't know. I am glad that it kind of tied, some of the loose ends.
It's a nice little.
What did you think?
I mean, I loved it. I thought when it, the chapter ended and it went to that one, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I don't have to Google much. But I did think it was kind of fast, but you know, you are kind of trying to go through, you went from like 7 years old to sixth grade in like 200-ish yeah. pages, and now you're trying to go from exactly. middle of sixth grade to law school.
Adulthood.
In, yeah, mm-hmm. in a few pages. I was surprised that her parents stayed together, even though it seemed like their relationship was a little bit more broken.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I really enjoyed it. Rating the book. We're not rating the book. We are doing...
Recommending the book.
We're not recommending... Janelle, you can go ahead and start first.
I would definitely recommend this book because I think it's a story that we don't often hear. And one of the notes that I'd written in my phone while reading it is I feel like this is the total antithesis of the model minority. Something we didn't talk about yet during our conversation is how her parents were both like professors in China.
Yes.
And when they moved mm-hmm. here, they were only given opportunities in jobs like sweatshops or like mm-hmm. janitor. I think her dad was a janitor in a hospital for a little bit and things like that. So it is really interesting to get this kind of other side of the Asian American experience. So yeah, I think for that reason alone, it's highly recommend.
Yeah. Jess?
Oh yeah, I would recommend this book. It was... Such, I think, you know, memoirs are very difficult to recommend to people because I feel like either people like them or they don't. But I think this memoir in particular, because it is short, because it is succinct, and I think it would resonate with a lot of folks who live in the U.S. and want to see another, you know, the other coin of someone else who came here, who had a totally different thing. I think this would make a really great read. I think it would just be very interesting for a lot of different people who maybe aren't that maybe don't think they're that interested in this type of story. Mm-hmm. If they're like not seeking out immigrant stories, I would say this would be a good like dip your toe in the water one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What about you, Jess?
I too would recommend. I agree with what you said, Janelle, about not having heard of Asian immigrant stories very, very often. And so this was really good. You hear other stories, which is great. You know, they're out there, but this one was new. And as a child of immigration, it was interesting to see a different side. 'Cause I know coming from Mexico to the U.S. I know that side. I know the struggle. I know, like, people in South America still, it's still kind of very similar, but having to actually, like, take a flight and then be scared and, I mean, my parents were scared, but it's completely, completely different viewpoint. I would definitely recommend. I don't know. It's very simple. Just recommend. People need to read this book. And it was very well written. I loved how well written it was.
It was. And it was very detailed. And because she grew up in the 90s too, there were a lot of references that I, and I'm sure you too, kind of resonated with. Mm-hmm. I texted my sister because, spoiler alert, it's not a spoiler, but I finished this book about 15 minutes before this recording. But I texted my sister. I was like, we had Tamagotchis and Baby G watches too, right? And then I Googled how much those watches cost. They're still like $60 to $100. I am shocked. I think we had fake ones. And so that was the real question I asked her. But I'm like, wow, what a throwback.
Okay, now I gotta know. Jess, did you also have a Tamagotchi?
No.
My sister, my older sister, she got one. And I was so jealous of her. I killed her Tamagotchi one day.
I didn't have mine. I probably did the same with my sister. We both had the watches, but not the Tamagotchi. How did you kill it?
Yeah, she had the, like, little...
Don't you have to starve it in order to kill it?
Yes. So we had a situation as children. I had a pet snake, like an actual pet snake. And when I went out of town for camp, she was supposed to feed it and watch it. And when I got back, my snake was gone. So I was so angry. I took it out on everything she had. When she went out of town next and I was supposed to watch her Tamagotchi and her ant farm, both killed them.
That's sad.
Actually, I just hid the ant farm. I didn't kill the ants. I couldn't kill ants. But now I can kill ants.
Oh, your poor snake.
I killed her Tamagotchi. I didn't feed it. I think he just went outside. He was a gardener snake from outside. He was an outside snake from outside. I think they just put him outside when I was gone. And I was like, my snake. Not like the kitten story. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Poor kittens.
Okay. Great pick, Janelle. This was... I probably wouldn't have read this book if you didn't suggest it. I probably would have added it to my TBR list.
And then never even...
And would have sat there for a while.
Sat there. Yeah. So thank you for having us read it. And now we have a couple of random, funnish questions to ask you before we log off.
Okay.
And the first one is what...
It's my favorite one.
Yeah, it's my favorite too, because it's... People are scared of saying this out loud. What's your unpopular opinion of a book?
A book.
But everybody's
or
loved...
Or books, or anything.
Everybody's loved this book, and you're like, eh.
Where the Crawdads Sing. That was one I really struggled to get through. That was one I have the physical book, and then I needed to get it on audio just to kind of like get through it, and then I ended up listening to most of it. And I don't know, it just, the beginning was so slow, mm-hmm. I didn't like it, and then people were like, give it 100 pages. And for me, that's always kind of a red flag. And then just knowing the backstory of it, like, I feel like there were some pieces that were unnecessarily racist, and then it made me Google Delia Owens, and I was like, oh, this is, like, kind of loosely based on a murder her family got away with. So I feel like I just don't think it deserves the, like, heralding that it gets.
The movie that it's getting.
Yeah, okay, that's also, I'm very surprised, Daisy Edgar-Jones, I don't really picture her as, I forget the name. Also, I hate a movie casting when they change the hair, because in the book, so specifically, her hair is black, straight, sleek. Daisy Edgar-Jones' hair is brown and wavy. I know it's minor, but to me, that just, like, really bothers me.
Yeah. Actually, I read Where the Crawdads Sing. It was our second episode of the podcast. 60 episodes ago. Wow, that's a lot. And I really liked it. It did take me a while to get into. However, I didn't do any research on the author. Because back then, you know, like, we didn't do too much research. And it's kind of like American Dirt. Did you ever read that one?
No, but I kind of heard about that, too. Uh-huh.
And I was telling, like, we did an episode on it, and... It was a really good story.
We liked it, and then we researched too
much.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good story, and it was very eye-opening. But I'm like, I don't know.
Written by the
author. Yeah. If the author had, like, written it and just done, like, an undercover name, it probably nobody would have turned a blind eye. Everybody would have turned a blind eye to it, I think, if you didn't know who this random author was.
Mm-hmm.
But now, because we know who it is and all of, like, the stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was a good story.
The thing I will say about Crawdads is I feel like I liked it, the ending piece. My favorite things about it were the romance. So I think that harkens back to, I think I am a romance reader, and I'm just in denial about it. And to the trial. Like, that was the most interesting part to me. And that was, like, the last quarter of the book. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, like, I think it was a good book. I think when I wrote my review about it, I said, it feels like the kind of book you read in high school and you, like, analyze it, and I kind of like that about it, but it's not one I would, like, jump to recommend to everybody, and that's the, like, reputation it has.
Mm-hmm. All right. So our other book question is, do you have an auto-buy author?
Ooh. I'm really weird about buying books. I wish I was better about it. Like, I don't even know how to like explain what I mean by that. I just don't really buy a lot of books. So I love the library. I live for the library. If I were to auto buy or just like anytime this author releases something, I'll read it. The first person who comes to mind is mm-hmm. Jasmine Guillory, who romance books. Yeah. She writes the Wedding Party series. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love her writing.
I love her writing too. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. I like, I know this is weird, but I like that she takes the time in her sex scenes to say like, do you have a condom? In other like books, you're like, what the heck? Are they just like going for it? But she takes the time, like, do you have a condom?
Mm-hmm.
It's like very realistic and it's very minor, but mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Which book of that series is your favorite?
Ooh, that's really hard. 'Cause I think I read the first four all together and then the last two kind of sporadically in the last 2 years. I think it was The Proposal, but now I'm like, whenever I talk to people about it, that's like their least favorite one. And I'm like, then is it my favorite one? Like, I don't know. I also really liked Party of Two.
Because
I feel like that was a little bit different from the other ones. Like, they all had a similar formula, but that was the only one that I think was a little bit different, which I liked. And there was a little more character growth from both sides.
Yeah. So I've read all of her books, too. Party of Two was my favorite. My least favorite, I hate to say, is Royal Holiday.
Yeah.
Only because it's like the the one before was about the daughter, and now that one is about her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt weird reading about her mom having sex.
Yeah.
That's strange. That's the only reason why.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a good book.
Yeah. Anyway. Who are your auto buy authors?
Jess?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think. Give me one second. Give me one second. Get back to me.
I think
I'm like trying to think. I have some, but I don't know.
I think
I'm not a big auto buy person.
Recently, it has been Colleen Hoover.
Oh, I haven't read any of her books, but I've heard a lot. I didn't know It Ends With Us came out in like 2016. It's been all over Bookstagram now. And I'm like, why? Because one of my friends read it recently, mm-hmm. and she's like, this came out 5 years ago.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't read it, but it did come out. It's also going to be a movie. She just released a book called
Verity?
Reminders of Him.
Oh. No.
Verity is the good book. I've read 3 or 4 of her books. And you know what? She's an auto-buy, and I only have 3 of her books.
Okay, it takes me a second to think, but okay, I loved Big Little Lies, the book, and I love The Husband's Secret. Those are, I think you say it, Lyane Moriarty. I've read, I think, like 6 of her books, and all of them were like 4 stars for me. I would definitely just read whatever she puts out next. Also, I'm a weird, like, not buying a lot of book things. Also, I went dark over here. My light timer went off, but that's definitely one for me. I like what did we end up calling those? Domestic suspense.
Oh yeah.
Domestic suspense.
Interesting.
Books. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read any Kristen Hannah books yet, but I feel like she could potentially be an auto buy.
Christina.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you said Kristen Hannah or Christina Lauren?
Kristen Hannah, the one who wrote The Great Alone and The Four
Winds.
Just
doesn't like her.
Oh. I haven't read any of the books yet.
Unpopular book.
I like her.
I don't,
That's my unpopular.
If I read Great Alone, I could see myself not liking it just based on crawdads, because I always get those confused. So I'll check back in with you once I read it.
I thought you meant
Jess, what was the
Christina
one?
Lauren.
What was that one book we did by Hannah that was,
The
Out West one.
The Four Winds.
The Four Winds.
Mm.
I hated it. Everyone loves it. I hate it. But here's the thing. I don't like Mommy and Me stories. Like, that's just not my jam. I don't like movies or books that revolve around that. But I do want to read that one.
You will hate it. I cried.
It's on my list. I want to read it. I can't get into it.
Oh.
Yeah. I would listen. Especially if yeah. I listened to Crying in H Mart twice.
Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap this up so that we can continue talking afterwards. Thanks, Janelle, for coming on the show today. We hope you had as much fun as we did. Yeah. And make sure to go follow Janelle on Instagram. Her handle is JanAndThings, and we will put it on the show notes as well.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah, thank you. Don't forget to subscribe to our show wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can find us on all of the social medias at Out of 5 Stars, and that is Outa with 2 T's. Happy reading.
Cheers.